The following program has been furnished and paid by Nathan P. Ross, CPA, and KSEV is not responsible for its content or the products or services offered.
Welcome to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, a show that helps you learn how planners can generate significantly more wealth now. Nathan will answer your questions about business or personal finance, or how to increase current cash flows and generate retirement savings to make sure you're on the right path, and so much more. Whatever your financial goal, Nathan can get you there faster. And now, here's your host, Nathan Ross.
Welcome to this week's Be a Planner Show, the cyber security and AI version. We have our AI expert, the cyber expert, Mr. AI Nguyen, joining us again today. Nguyen, how are you doing today?
Great, glad to be here.
I'm amazed, and maybe it's not true. Maybe they throw some decoy information out there from time to time.
The testing.
I've heard ex-government or military officials talk about it, and like the locations of all these cables are known, supposedly, by everybody.
Yeah.
And so that doesn't mean that they're exposed necessarily. In other words, we've got, I'm sure, some kind of protection or security system in play. But, you know, to transverse the world, what are we talking? Like, all the way around the world, it's got to be somewhere around 20,000 miles, right?
Right.
I mean, it's probably more than that, because I know when I fly, as an example, from Houston to Bangkok or back, it's 9,986 miles, according to United Airlines. Well, that's going up and over. That's not going around. And maybe that's how the cables flow. I don't know. They got to stay under the water, I'm assuming. So they got limits on going up and over. But you think about how many miles, and if you went just around the world, like take the equator, so that's around the world, right? It's a circle. That's got to be, I don't know, a lot more than 20,000 miles if you know, it's 20,000 by cutting the corner, so to speak, right? So anyway, well, as we were saying, we had some technical difficulties. I had a connection at the very outset, and then it somehow disappeared on us, but Nguyen, glad to have you today, and let's talk generally about the topics that we're going to cover.
So hi everyone, welcome back, and today all thinking about cybersecurity, and I'm your co-host today, Nguyen, AI Nguyen, I should say.
AI Nguyen, yeah. That's right.
So today we're going to dive into the topic that more relevant that ever than how cyber criminals are using deception to get past our defenses. We're talking about phishing emails, phishing voice scam, and sneaky world social engineering. Maybe you receive, you know, some suspicious email from the bank asking you to reset the password, or a strange phone call claiming their problem with your account. If so, you're not alone. So in this episode, we're talking about the tricky everywhere, how they're getting more convincing by the day, and they're using AI, and I'm going to talk about more. So, for example, when I say, what exactly is social engineering? In a simple term, it's like when attacker use psychological manipulation to trick people into giving up confidential information or access. So this weekend, I'll tell you what I did to the senior home, and I went there and I helped them. About the phishing email and the phishing call that they receive. You know, this is a tax season, right? The people expecting a lot of refund, and then there's a lot of IRS phone calls. So the criminal are using this to scam the elder. So we'll talk more about that. But in this episode, we're going to break down to this scam, how did it work, and share some jaw-dropping real-life story and give you more practical tips to spot and stop these attacks before they get into your business or your home, whether you're a cybersecurity pro or just want to keep your personal in safe. So you want to stick around for this one, okay? So let's get into it. The question today is, how can you outsmart the scammer and stay one step ahead? Let's find out. So what do you think? How do we do that?
Okay. Are you talking to me or just generally
asking that question? I'm asking the world. I'm asking you too, since there you're the only one, okay?
So, okay, I'm the only one that can respond real time.
I'm going to help you. So the latest trend in the phishing attack in 2025 is AI-driven and polymorphic phishing. So what does that mean? So the attacker are currently using artificial intelligence to craft more convincing. Have you ever seen an email that's so realistic, like they actually know your whole life story? What I have, okay? And this one, that's what they call polymorphic phishing campaign. They're so realistic, they use your life story. That means they use a terminology to evade detection, like they don't misspell anymore. You realize 2024, over 73% of phishing email analyzed show that some use AI. Near 91% of those are polymorphic element that rely on AI for their creation. Like when I talk about polymorphic element, I'm talking about deepfake technology.
Hey, let's spell that. Are you saying POLY?
Yeah,
marketing.
No, polymorphic. Oh. Like
polymorphic
elements. So
okay,
like deepfake technology, that's including synthetic voice and video, is being used to impersonate executive. You know, for the other day, I look at a TikTok, right, and somebody using J.D. Vance's wife and her face and her voice and then making a statement that she says she hates her husband and she despises her husband. I don't know how this is not illegal. I don't understand this. And I'm telling you, compare this to the last video of deepfake like a year ago. I was stung because it's so realistic. It's so realistic.
Yeah.
Her lips movement, it took me a while to analyze it. And how is it legal? That means somebody can use your face, your voice, and making a statement, you know?
I've seen several lately, and they involve people that are celebrity types. I mean, I saw one that was LeBron James.
Yeah.
I've seen several athletes. And it's only because the messaging is so extremely stupid that you realize there's no way that's real. Even I've seen one with Trump and one with Musk, and they've got the sound down. They've got the video to be less jerky. I mean, it's pretty compelling, except the content is just so unusual. That's the giveaway that, you know, it can't be real, right?
Yeah, but for common people, I'm telling you, the message that she said is still getting to some people, even 10%, 5%, you know?
Well, and it's not just that. The messaging on the ones that I've seen is all one way. What if it's two-way? It says, if you'll call in the next 5 minutes and give us your MasterCard, then we're going to send you something of value. And, you know, that's a different scenario. And a lot of people will fall for that because they do every day, you know, with other
here, I'm going to give you another example, okay? So this hacker, they're using a voice of the loved one, right? This girl, and called her parents and said, I'm in trouble. And I'm talking about interactive. The parent talked to her.
Right.
And that's her voice. And say, I'm in trouble. I'm really in trouble. I cannot say much. I'm going to tell you something, but we have to get off immediately. I'm in jail right now. I need the money, blah, blah, and so forth. And then the parent asking, are you okay? Where are you? And she would be able to only answer where she was, I mean, share where she is, what she's doing. But she did not. Well, the parent usually will ask a question to qualify her. You know, I need to validate what you do, who you are, like what we did in the past. Well, they.
Yeah, but they're not thinking like that.
They're not thinking like that. Yeah.
Right. Right.
So the bad guy said, the girl said, I don't have time to talk. I really need help because right now I have 1 minute to talk. So that's how the parent doesn't have enough information to qualify the question, you see. But it's so realistic, I'm telling you, it's scary, okay? And that's one of them, okay? But here's another one, all right? You know how like a lot of media, a lot of apps on iOS right now that said if you can convert a video into a picture to video, like text into video, like the new app just come out. So what happened is, this is the new trend, by the way. So to say, you know what? It's only $7.95 a month. You know what? I go ahead and subscribe it. And then when you type in the script and then it generates the video, right? And they said, here, you can download it. But here's the problem. When you download it, that is the ransomware package. So you think,
you see what I'm
getting at?
So you're not
right?
on the App Store.
No, you're not. So you right. no, they are on the App Store. They trick the App Store, and because the way they trick it, you pay for it. So remember, this app gonna stay here for like a month or so, less than that. The objective is when you pay for something, you think it's legit, right? So when you create an app, and you know, I do it all the time. I create a video that convert text from text to speech into video. But when you click on the download, you actually download the here's the critical part. You download the file, and iOS don't even know it's legit or not.
Right. That's not coming from the App Store.
It's not come from the App Store. But when you click on you download on it, it go to another site and it download the ransomware, the package. So guess
what?
How do you
control that, Lynn, or how do you protect against
that?
So
nowadays you use AI to fight against AI, right? So we always one step behind them. But there are companies that go coming out today. Basically, you still can do it because if you have an endpoint security, it will stop when you when it's expand the download. You still can block it. But the problem is not all of us has antivirus, believe it or not. We just have the basic stuff. We don't have the...
And there's no way to get that over to the spam folder in your email.
Well, Microsoft is smarter. You know?
I just had an email yesterday that I really struggled with, and at the end I went ahead and clicked through, but it came through one of our online – well, we use a product to manage the online travel agencies for our boutique hotels, so booking.com. I mean, there's 300 and some of them, all the brands you've heard of, and another 220 because of all the Asian and European platforms. And so the software we use to manage all that, it's a big time, you know, 30,000 users around the world. They're the big application in the hotel space. And I got an email. It was off of the Contact Us. Well, it was an inquiry. That's how they term it, coming out of that system. And it said, I know you've seen this message before. Well, I have a few clients now. I work as a fractional chief marketing office for my clients. I offer a full-time marketing staff on a part-time budget. So it sounds legit. I like the concept. And it had a link in here to book some time, you know, for them to call you and talk to you. So I went ahead. I moved it over to spam. I clicked it, and it was a normal look like a normal form.
What
where
about the link?
They wanted
the
say
link
again.
To, what about the link?
The link. Mm-hmm. The link took it to a form that says "Get in touch," and it's you know, it's a Zoho form. You know the app Zoho, I guess, right? Mm-hmm. And anyway, first name, last name, phone number, email, website, and that's it. And I looked at it, and I thought, well, that information is already out there, you know, 18,000 times for me or you or anybody else. That's not – I'm not handing them anything that they can use. There was no credit card. I mean, I wasn't paying for anything, and I wasn't providing any passwords to anything. But I really struggled with whether or not – because I haven't had – I mean, I've gotten other inquiries from other potential vendors like this one. But it wasn't anything that interested me. I'm actually interested in talking to these folks, and I believe it's authentic. But I'm just curious. I was thinking later, man, what a great way if somehow they had wormed their way in to our software vendor's system and they were just randomly emailing everyone. I mean, I presume they had to go to my Contact Us page on our website to get – because they identified everything correctly. The property name was spelled right. You know, everything about the information they had already populated in that form was correct. But I think it's innocuous information requests like that, that I've really got to be – well, we all have to be on our toes. And I wish there and there was a way. I didn't do it because I thought it might lead to something else. There was a phone number for the guy that sent it. And so I could have called L.A. area code, and I probably will maybe Monday, because I do have a sincere interest in learning more about, you know, how they think they'll increase our booking traffic, because we've got a direct booking engine. You know, if you go to our site, you'll actually get a little bit better rate than you will coming in off of Booking.com or Hotels Tonight or Expedia, because those platforms, they take a pound of flesh. I mean, when we get a booking from Booking.com or Expedia or Airbnb, there's a 20% chunk that's gone. And then you add on top of that a 16.75% chunk for the county and the city and the state of Texas hotel tax. And now you're looking at 37, 38, some of them it's as high as 40% because their fees are a little bit different off the top, not the bottom. I mean, how would you like to be a 40% partner in a business off the gross revenue? And I know it's easy. Yeah, it's easy for me to say, well, they're not doing anything. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, they've built a platform that got you to their platform and specifically to my property. So they are doing something. But, man, what a marvelous model. And as much as I can't stand the OTAs, especially Airbnb.
So what happened? My lease. So is it legit?
I don't know. I did this after end of business on Friday. I don't think anything's come in. I'll have to look.
Yeah.
And by the way, you know, we pass out a number you can send text to, or you can call it, but it's more for texting. I don't answer it unless you leave me a voicemail, and then I'll call you back. But I don't answer the phone. I mean, literally, unless I am expecting a call or it's a client that I know, I recognize the number or name. Depends on whether it pulls up in our system. I let calls go to voicemail, and I need to actually change my voicemail to suggest that you should text me if you want to get into my daily, you know, information flow. Because when I lay my head down on a pillow at night, I get literally 400 or 500 emails, because that's daytime in America, right? And I'm not going to spend time going through, because of those 400 or 500, there might be a dozen that are actionable. And so I tell all my clients, you know, it's great to email me. If it's really long, send up by email, but set up in the iOS or the Apple phone, it's called a keyboard replacement, I think, when is the little text snippet you can set up, and then you have a hot key to get it to come up. And I have one, I named it CYM, check your mail. And it spells out check your email. And I send that anytime I send an email to a client, I follow it right away with that text. It's so automated. And then, because how many emails have you sent when where the person told you later, hey, I'm looking right now, I didn't get it? Who knows why? It's the same reason I don't know why we didn't have a good connection today when I first connected.
I've seen a lot of things happen like that. People don't receive an email. Yeah.
Right. And I've had texts that I know got sent that I didn't get. I've had texts that I've sent and it's not on the history of the text string. And I don't know if that means I didn't have a stable connection at the time I sent it, although usually those will say something like this message didn't transmit. They're still there and you can resend it, but you don't assume anything. People are far too expectant, if that's a word, that just because they click send, it's going to get wherever they think it's going. And I'm just telling you, don't do that if it's important.
So
so
this is the thing,
you know,
that I think the next future of the new trend of email, they're going to force you to go to authentication. For example, Microsoft is going to enforce that. And some of the stuff that they do, if you ever use Microsoft, like last November 24, basically they separated, called the Intra. So basically like IMA, Identity Access Management. So they separate that from Azure. So basically you have Identity Access Management that single, that you can point to Azure as a resource, and you can do the same thing with that IAM. You point it to Google Cloud. So IAM, IAM is the term stand for, Identity Access Management. Okay, you heard a lot of that term.
Okay.
So they just point. So you have a single IAM that you can point to many resources, and Microsoft just separate that. It's November 24. So things are going, for example, email, they're going to enforce authentication. That's the only way, because I know a lot of people.
On both ends of a message, or are you talking about between the user and the server?
Both. So let's say if you have a business, and I'm talking if you have a business, for example, even a government or state local government, if you send an email, the best way, how do you know that the other end get the email?
Right. Well. Yeah, there are ways of I don't know that you
it's
know
called authentication.
More about,
it's called authentication, force authentication.
Well, but generally speaking, there's apps we use one. It's built into our mm-hmm. Streak CRM that does part of this. It tells you when it got opened. But if it never got opened, we don't know that.
So here,
I mean, it'll show we didn't.
So here's the thing, okay? Uh-huh. The way it works is like this. Let's just say if I'm a legit company and I set my email with authentication called DMARC, okay? And uh-huh. with an DMARC, it has like a domain keys and all kind of stuff. It's basically when I send an email to you, if I'm legit, okay, Microsoft Authority, and they call the authority of Internet Authority, will look at that and say, this is legit. It will go to your inbox. It will not go to spam. You see what I'm getting at?
Yeah, I got you.
A lot of times, I have people say, when I did not receive this company, like one friend of mine is a lawyer, and his opponent lawyer sent him an email, he never got it. And then he thinks the other opponent did intentionally.
Opposing counsel.
Yeah, opposing counsel think intentionally that put that in a spam mail. I said, no. So I verify the because they said I never receive it.
Oh,
I know.
They're dirty.
So basically, for me to verify that, so he said when it's in my spam box, and I explained to him the reason in the spam box. Look at his email. So I verify. I do a little forensic on the opposing counsel email. It was not even authenticated. It's just like generic. It's not even have any security behind that. So what happened is when it's sent, the three things that Google look at and Yahoo look at. Uh-huh. Okay, number one. It's the payload that you send. Number one, they send 3 PDF. That's a 4 payload, okay? And the attachment is huge. That's number one. Number two, it said urgency. That's another thing. Hey, you need to respond this immediately. This is a court case. You see what I'm getting at? And number three, no security authentication. Those three things, Google put automatically into spam box. So he never received it.
Okay, but hang on. Let me clarify something, because you said something I've often wondered, and I've never asked you.
Yeah.
If you mark an email as important, what are the choices? There's important. Is there urgent? I don't think I've seen that.
No. It's not just the click on the on the app. I'm talking about on the subject matter. You put urgency. Please respond right away. You know.
All right. I get it. But just so I know. Mm-hmm. In Gmail, you can mark something. I believe you can mark it important, or maybe you used to could. Would that elevate it at all in the authentication?
Is the urgency on the topic, but also the body of the message also say something related to that? Remember, it's more than that.
Yeah.
The whole message.
Okay, but you're saying Gmail or Google reads that, or just the other
they
side?
Scanned
is supposed to
they
read
scanned
it.
The email. Okay. And they will put it on a spam, because based on the contact that you send. When you look, for example, if you send me an email that have a large payload, that's number one, because that's what virus come in, ransomware come in the payload, right? And secondly, urgency. That's how email catches, called phishing email. They use terminology, they use social engineering called urgency. They want you to act immediately, right? To make a decision. Those are the things that Gmail look at it, but that's not all. They also look at is your email vendor, how you set up your email, does it have any authentications? Those are things you pay extra for it, okay? For example, if you use Outlook, Microsoft one thing, but you have to pay, like they have other security like spoofing software, you know, like you have to pay extra, right? Because when you do that, that means your email is encrypted. And Google saw that encrypted by a legit company, they pass it through. Right?
Okay, well, how do you, I guess, I'm curious.
I can take your domain name, okay?
But what is okay. Well, I'm curious, does Google Workspace, I mean, that's a higher level, you pay for that, you know, other than just a free
Gmail. I'll find out for you. I can take your domain, and I'll find out for you. And I can tell you right away if you have, is your email set up with authentications, okay? Okay. Because if your email set up with authentication, you can send it go to your inbox. If not, for example, if I send like a massive email for a newsletter, for example, right? When you do that, what happened? Google said you're spamming people, right? But if you have people who subscribe to your email, and then on top of that, you have to use like company like MailChimp. Have you heard of the MailChimp?
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. It's like Constant Contact.
Okay, so Microsoft, Google, all the authority know who they are. If it come from that, they're not going to block it. Make sense? It's going to go to your inbox.
Yeah.
Right? Because you pay for it, right? But not on top of that, because they're legit. But at the same time, if you use their platform and you send out spam, they will block you also, because they also look at those things as well. So, man, talking about security is awesome. When people say when it comes to internet, you know what's a real enemy? Complexity. Complexity is a real enemy, I'm telling you.
Yeah, you can say that again. Jeez.
We're going to talk about QR code phishing. That's another one. Oh, my God.
Uh-huh.
So it's getting worse every day, and people just don't learn.
Before you leave this topic you just mentioned, I know I've put in the subject line many times, I've put the word important, colon, maybe even in caps. Yeah. Am I doing myself a disservice by doing that? Is that getting
No, no, no. It depends on the body of the message as well. They scan the body. For example, you know, this tax season, you need to click on this right now, otherwise you're going to lose money. You have to act it immediately.
Right.
You have 24 hours to do it. Those are the terms. They look at that. You know, Google, Gemini, I'm telling you, they're more advanced now. They're catching stuff. And I think it's a good thing, okay? I think it's a very good thing. Because you look at Google Chrome, I constantly update every day now. I mean, not every day, every other day. They update their stuff, like the extension, Google extension, right? They're enforcing it, so that's a good thing, right? But you just have to be careful. But I'll find out for you on your domain later, and I can tell you.
Yeah, I'd be curious to know that.
But if you can send something, people don't respond. If you look at it and they have not clicked on it, you don't see respond. Send another message or call them.
Well, that's what we do. In this case, I've usually already texted them if it was important. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
After I sent it, so I'll just do a follow-up on the text, say, hey, just checking to make sure you saw this, and you'd be amazed. Well, it's just like me. I mean, I'm not the only one that gets 500 or 600 emails a day. But, you know, I doubt there's many people, including me. I don't get 300 or 400 texts every day. You know, I can tell you that. I may get 30 or 40. I mean, I guess some of our kids, our teenage kids, probably get more than that. Right.
Well, I have a lot of security on my phone and my computers, but I still get, once in a while, I still have those go through. How do they do that? Sometimes I have to wonder.
I don't know. I agree with you. I get that kind of stuff too, and makes me wonder why. Because some of them are just as, you know, you would think off the cuff, they look just as spammy-like or spam-like.
They're getting sophisticated, I'm telling you.
Yeah, that's
like
true.
Mobile-based phishing, too. So most of the time, they attack you, your cell phone. You know why? Limited space. You can't see much, right?
Yeah,
and limited information. And a time, too. 5 o'clock Central Time when you're driving. Between 5 and 6.
Is that right? I've never really read that. That makes sense, though.
Yeah, because they know when you're driving, you don't have time to look at the entire message, right? So you glance at it and you click on it. So between 5 to 7, man, that's when you should be careful. Especially when you're in sales, you need to be careful. And I keep telling people that they keep clicking on stuff. But they're all remedied. You know, the software I told you, I don't know if we can say that on the platform, but I use this software. It worked very well. I got tricked so many times with Instagram. This company looked legit. I'm telling you, the way they scrap this, they selling this stuff here, and it looks so legit. And I wanted to buy this product. Man, I was so excited. And the moment I click on it, it take me to another website. But guess what? This app's blocked immediately. It blocked immediately. Well, so even though...
I don't understand. That's another reason not to like Mark Zuckerberg, is don't think
it's
they
horrible.
Could stop that. They could block every bit of that stuff.
They are behind TikTok.
Don't.
TikTok, let me tell you something, okay? We can say everything about TikTok or communists or Chinese, but I bought a lot of stuff from them.
We're way ahead.
Way ahead.
We're doing worse things. And isn't it amazing when all the marketing now that's taking place on our SMS systems? I mean, it's crazy, the stuff I get.
I guess
that I've never heard of these people, and they're sending specials or, you know,
but what I'm on
promotions.
I want to tell you something. When I order stuff from TikTok, not even once, okay, I got scammed. I'm telling you, not even once. If the product's not arrived, all I have to say is, it's not arrived. Guess what? TikTok blocked them, send me back the money. No question asked.
Okay? Is that right?
Yeah. How do they set up? It's so advanced. I'm telling you, it just remind me of WeChat. Do you know how advanced the Chinese, if you're talking about a cashless society in 2015, they have no cash. They use everything to react to that WeChat.
Well, the Asians are especially that away. Yeah. I mean, that's over here.
We're
we
so
don't
behind.
Do checks over behind. Here. I mean, checks are not a thing. Why? Because you just transfer money, and I don't mean through a cash app. I mean directly from my bank account to yours, from my phone, and it's just seamless. It's amazing how it works.
And I
think most Asian countries are like that.
So the next topic I want to talk about, I don't know you use a lot, is LinkedIn, right? LinkedIn? I always have problems pronouncing that thing. LinkedIn.
I've gotten so put out with them, I probably ought to get off of it. It's just a constant, incessant marketing of stuff I'm not interested in.
So let me tell you this.
Reminding me.
So let me tell you real life.
It reminds you of all the things you're not interested in, right?
So I can tell you, talking about phishing, talking about vishing, and I'm telling you right now, me, security guy, right? And I have a lot of followers on my LinkedIn, and I have security. I pay premium. So one day I received this text, right? And I know it's a scam, but I want to play along, right? Right. And it speaks my language. It speaks my language, okay? It speaks like...
Meaning tech language or Vietnamese?
No, it speaks in Vietnamese. It speaks in...
Okay.
And I'm talking about psychologically. It called me, you know, the certain thing, like when you translate word per word, is different. But when you're talking to people, like, right, in terms of romantic and thing like that, I'm talking about... It's a she right away, as I know. And then the way she called me, she's using the tech to speak in Vietnamese, like... So this is what I call a scatter spider, okay? This is called advanced persistent threat. And we can talk more about that. But this is the next threat that we ought to be very careful. So there are three kind of security threats that I want to talk about real quick. Number one is called commodity. What does it mean? It means that you buy the package from the dark net. You buy the package like a ransomware, and you attack people, right? Or ransomware as a service, you attack people. Those can be catched very quickly because we know the trend. The authority can catch that. Number two is a zero-day virus. You heard about that, right? Zero day. That means that you don't know until it hit you, basically. But it's very expensive to develop, and the only people who can develop that are state sponsor, like the governments, right? Right. So they're very expensive.
Okay.
But the third one is called advanced persistent threat. This is like command and control in a nutshell. This is a group of people that hack you, and depending on who you are, where you at, they recruit other people. They call scatter spider, like the bunch of them around the country. And one example is the hotel in Las Vegas. That's a scatter spider. They recruit the U.S. hackers, and one in London, one in the U.S. to hack the MGM casino and Caesar. Okay. It's command and control. They have like a process, and they use they phishing. They use it. They have your information to LinkedIn, especially when people like the website. You have who is the CEO, who the CFO, or the C level, right? They captured all those information, and on LinkedIn they map it. And they created the profile on LinkedIn, and they trick you. And I saw that, and they play. I play along, right? And I catch it at the end. I say, "Nice try," and then I block them. Oh, yeah. I say, why you want to talk to me all this stuff? Why are you interested? That he asked me all this stuff. But guess what? I look at her profile. She got a lot of connection. That doesn't mean anything anymore. Usually the way you look at LinkedIn, you see that how long they in LinkedIn, right? The history, how many connection they have, how many followers they have. So you know right away you filter. No, this is too new. This person has over 5,000 connections and over 6,000 followers, so automatically think they're legit, right? But guess how they bypass that? You ready? they hijack somebody else's account. That's how they do it. So I report. So you need to be careful out there. This is called brand impersonation and deceptive link. The phishing campaign is so powerful, and people need to be aware of that. Anyway, another thing is called phishing as a service. What you just mentioned there, that's why I'm asking you, that email, that could be from a phishing as a service from another a hacker, somebody that drafted you that email. Okay, it's a service. Meaning those criminals, they sell you the phishing campaign package. You can hack other people. All kind of stuff. Well, yeah. There you go. You know. So here's the thing. The question is, how do you protect yourself against things like this? Okay? How do you protect yourself? A little skeptical. Ask question. Right? If you think about it, if you have that one little, is I call a human firewall. Okay?
A human firewall.
That means
common sense.
That means you question everything. Okay. Remember, this is what I teach all my kids. Okay, the only free cheese is the one inside the mouse trap. All right.
Old Vietnamese saying. Huh?
Oh wow, I have no idea. Probably Confucius. He confused. Yeah. Right. So, but I want to leave. So never stop learning, because this. These are the things that keep continuing. You have to be very careful. That's why I said, be careful. Question everything. What if? Okay, constantly challenge yourself. You see things like that. Ask, what if? It make a big difference. If you receive, for example, if I receive an email from you and ask me to transfer fund, I say, wait a minute. Nathan would never ask me to do a thing like that. Why today he asking?
Yeah.
Then true. I pick up the phone, true. I call you, right? Anything that come to money, anything that come to identity, question it, because you know what? If it's important, they will call you. Right?
Right. That's right.
So,
that's exactly
skeptical.
Right.
Oh, I want to tell you. So, this weekend, I went over this senior house. So, I help them every week.
One up north?
This one up north. And I helped them. And I had to print out the flyers. And I gave it to everybody there. I handed it to the nurse and give it to everyone. Have you experienced this? Oh, my God. They say they do, all the voicemail. They're from authority. And here's the thing, though. When you old the elder, when they hear from authority, they respond because they're afraid. Yeah. They're like little kid. They're afraid. When you say you're from the government, from local police, sheriff, they answer it. They don't care. And say, hey, you owe money. If you don't, we're going to take you out of the senior place. Oh, my God. They respond right away.
Oh, my goodness.
They act first before they call the nurse.
That's low. That's
that
really
is,
low.
But they do. But that's how they do it, right? And so I print out the flyer. I said, if you see the phone call, okay, and say unknown or you don't recognize, hang up. Hang up immediately. And the government don't call you, okay, especially everything through email. And secondly, if you go and talk to the nurse, respond immediately. So what I do, I set up a little seminar. I teach them, just the basic stuff that they, like a little kid, that they can understand, When you see it, just like a mousetrap, don't do it. Too good to be true?
Yeah.
It probably is. And I print it out.
I'm surprised assisted living doesn't have like a central call system.
Okay.
Good
question. So basically, before they're using, they go through AT&T and they have DirecTV. And I tell you, AT&T got a lot of problems. So now they're going back to, so they kind of filter
it out.
You got
that right.
Now they,
as I often say, I don't care if it's free.
Yeah.
I don't want anything AT&T is trying to sell. No way.
No way. Their phones are not safe. And they've been hacked. Even Verizon, they get hacked. Okay. By the group called the Scatter Spider. They sit in there for, oh, my God. It's more detailed than that.
Those people ought to be hung up by their toenails. I mean, it's just
This is an act of war. I'm telling you, like the North Koreans, they're doing that because, you realize there's only 1,500 public IP in North Korea. That's all they have. So they all funnel through China.
Right?
Yeah. So it's actually very easy to catch them. But what they do, they create a lot of online job, remote job, especially now. Oh my God, there's so many remote job and people get laid off and they get curious and they apply. You don't know who you apply. I'm telling you, they set up the whole thing is so realistic. Okay, remote.
It's all their scamming centers.
It's all scamming. It's all scamming.
There's entire cities in Myanmar, and even Philippines has a notorious city.
Yeah.
We talked about this a year ago on the air, where they've got, it's kind of like a co-working space, you know, like a Regis or a
in India
Suites,
too.
You know, yeah. Oh, that's right. That's the other big area. And
huge.
They've got them set up, computers, you know, office gear,
mm-hmm.
ready to go. You can go rent a seat in one of these things and start your scam career. And if you don't have somebody already employing you or engaging you to scam for them, they've got a list of people that are willing to hire you. I mean, and it's worse than that. It's a human trafficking thing because
yep.
they're charging some people that don't have the money. They're desperate because they need a job, and they're selling them
access. They caught them. They caught the whole group in Cambodia.
Yeah, well, that's one of them. Yeah, that's one of them. Asia is bad, but it's not alone. I mean, the U.S. has similar outfits, and it's just so easy. Everything in the electronic world is so transitory. It's easy to
they don't need the data center anymore. It's all remote,
right?
Just like
you, like
you calling from Thailand right now. Okay, it's remote office.
Yeah.
So I'm telling you, here's the problem with like India. I'll give you one example, and it pisses me off. Oh, can I say that the word piss off on media?
Okay. So it makes you mad.
Okay. So here's the thing. In the morning, they use to support legit business. At night, they lease out to the hacker. How you like that?
Yeah.
I'm talking about in India. I'm talking
that's
about
a very
India.
Efficient, very efficient use. And by the way,
they want to use their facility.
It's not unusual, and you'll understand why when I tell you this. I visited an outsourcing operation in India. They would outsource bookkeeping and tax preparation services, and it was in Bangalore, which is kind of one of their IT areas. And you know, Bangalore at that time, it's been probably. I don't know, 12 years ago. It's been a while when I made the flight over. It's only about four and a half hours from Bangkok.
Yeah.
And so it was a factory by day. This was legit. I mean, uh-huh. This wasn't scamming. But they had a company that made heavy-duty wire and cabling. So that was the manufacturing. And then at night, they had space for about 100 key punch operators, and so they brought them in to work.
So you know, the company like in India that have a support for the U.S. Operation. So what they do is in the U.S. they send people over to India called quality control. They have their people look at the data center. They hire the local to verify. They have them there to make sure that they actually do what they're supposed to do. So some of the facility in India are getting better because now they work with the local authority and they're working with the U.S. to help to verify those data centers are legit. But there's one case in Cambodia, they actually recruit people around the world and they said, you know what, if you want a job, you can, we give you the visa, we give you resources, you travel to Cambodia and we train you to do this. But what happened when people arrive there, they take away all their passport and they basically enslave them, make them do work, create the data center, scamming people. And there's an article that they got caught. And the people around the world in Asia, you have in Indonesia, Vietnam, China, and Philippines, they're all over there. And those are the people they use them to scam people. Like I said, they're scared of spies. They use different languages to scam other people. This is incredible. So the next thing that I want to talk about is how do we protect, you know, what can we do to protect? How do we protect? So give me 1 second. There's a many way that we can do to respond, right, to this kind of phishing attack, so this kind of scamming. And one thing is be skeptical. Okay, and use multi-factor authentication. What does that mean? That a strong password with a secondary, like when you type in your password, it asks you for the code. That's another thing, right? And always keep your software security tool up to date. And be cautious with email and link because you never know if it's legit or not, but just be careful. and verify the request for sensitive information. If you receive a request for sensitive information, always verify it by contacting your organization directly using official contact information. If it's on the detail, you know it's fake, okay? And also use anti-phishing tools like email filter. Employ anti-phishing browsing extension, email filter. I will mention later on, if you text, I'll tell you which application you need. Last but not least, employee training and awareness. Always be suspicious, always, okay? And avoid accessing sensitive information or logging account when using unsecure Wi-Fi. Just stop using a public Wi-Fi, not without the firewall. You need to be careful. So another thing too that we talked about earlier, advanced email and domain security. Every organization should implement security protocol like DMARC, SPF, DKIM, and I'll tell you more detail, but using those to prevent phishing attack, because it's both way. You send and receive, this will regularly audit the user access right, and it will stop most of the phishing email. You probably won't see it, okay? And it will block the majority of them. So what is the, now we also dive into the social engineering, and this is a little bit tricky because it involves AI. When it comes to social engineering, they use psychological against you. They're using what your mind is a mindset. They use against that, okay? So what you need to do is, the best way to prevent social engineering is security awareness training. Regularly educate employees and users about common social engineering tactics and red flags, such as urgent requests. We talked about that earlier. Suspicious link, impersonation attempt, and simulates attack, and ongoing reminder help reinforce vigilance. Multi-factor authentication. Once again, like phishing email, social engineering, you also need that as well. Second layer, if somebody asks you something you don't know, verify it. Your loved one. Did they pretend to be your loved one? Use code. Use the code that only your loved one would know. I use it for all my kids. Everything they ask them for something important, I ask them for, give me 6-digit code. Only I know and they and my kid know. Verify and validate requests. Okay? So these are the things that we need to be careful. And this is just the beginning. It's scary, but so psychological. So what is a key takeaway for listener? If someone call you out in blue claiming to be trusted institution, ask for sensitive information, hang up and call the organization back. For example, if you receive a phone call from your bank, say you need to verify your phone call, your account number and your social, hang up, go directly to the bank, okay? Go online and call the bank directly. Do not respond anything on the voice. Okay, the rise in the danger of visiting voicemail scam is on the rise, and it's getting worse, and getting worse by day. So,
yeah,
you know.
Well, listen, we're at the end of the show once again. Thank you for listening today, and Wynn, thank you for coming aboard once again, and we will look forward to next Sunday. There's no doubt a lot to get your head around and try to at least hang on and understand what's going on. But anyway, we'll return once again on Friday with our real estate retirement planning zero tax bracket private partnership syndication investing show, and we hope you can join in at that time. Thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening, and join us again next week for another edition of Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.